go and live in accordance to these commandments. Understand this, we're not saved by what we do, but we should do what we do because we are saved and redeemed by Yeshua. To pay him back this great debt is something that we can't do. We can't even understand the great thing he did for us on every level. But to ignore the way he told us to carry ourselves, to not follow him, to ignore the guidelines and instructions of our Creator is a great disrespect, dishonor to our Creator. We need to keep the guidelines and instructions to show him we trust him, we believe him. I'm going to go to the scriptures today and look at one of the verses, or at least one of the chapters, that is so misunderstood by the church today, because most people aren't studying their scriptures. And even those that are have been so indoctrined to believe something that is the antithesis to what the Bible really says. And we're going to look at this and clarify this. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. For in Colossians chapter 2, there's a great difference between a Christian commentary and a commentary of what it truly means. There's a great difference between even the wording of what it says. We have the Apostle Paul, who was a great follower of Yeshua Messiah, who kept the commandments and guidelines and instructions of our Creator, never telling people it's okay to live in sin, never suggesting that it's okay to be lukewarm, who always taught us to go to the extreme for our Creator, getting his words twisted around by the church to make them think it's okay to live in sin. In Colossians 2, it starts up and says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have concerning you, those in Lucidia, and many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted by joining together in love, and to all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of Elohim, even of the Father of Messiah, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul here was talking about the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the commandments of our wonderful Creator, where everything was hidden. And verse 4, he says, "And I say this, that no one man change your mind with persuasive words or keep you away from understanding these things. For in the New Living Testament, it says, I am telling you this, that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am with you far from away, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Yeshua is strong." This is the problem now. We look at verse 6, and we look at what the church is teaching people versus what the scripture teaches people. When we think about the debt that we owe our Creator, and we should be followers of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, it says in the New Living Testament, "And now, just as you have accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, you must continue to follow him." How do you mistranslate that? Follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong on a truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. That truth is Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. When it says that let your roots grow down in him, it's what he told us to do. Not that he just washed us clean and he set us free, but that he told us what to do and how to live our lives. That's what following him means. And we look at this. We look at verse 8. It says, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah." This is exactly what Paul is warning the people about, that the church has fulfilled this role today. Christianity, through philosophies and high-sounding nonsense, has given human thinking to what Yeshua was saying, and it completely did the antithesis to what the Bible is saying in the way we're supposed to follow Yeshua. It says in verse 9, "For Yeshua lives in the fullness of Yahweh in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Yeshua, who is the head over every ruler and every authority." It says here in the translation that I read, in a more appropriate translation, in verse 9, it says, "For him who dwells in the fullness of the of the divinity of the body in verse 10. It is through him that you have been made complete, for he is the head of all the angelical orders of authority. And now watch this. Listen, it says in verse 11, when you came to Yeshua, you were circumcised, but not with a physical procedure. Yeshua performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. The cutting away of your sinful nature. That's important. That's so important to understand. It goes on to say in verse 12, for you were buried with Yeshua when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of Yahweh who raised Yeshua from the dead. This does not set you free from the consequences of sin. This is what you must understand. The circumcision is a circumcision of your heart. When you got washed and clean and were raised again in a new life, you decided your repentance was going to change your mind and your life was going to be to truly follow our wonderful Messiah in everything we do, in every way we live. It says in verse 13, you were once dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Do you understand that? Because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then Yahweh made you alive with Yeshua, for he forgave all our sins. Now this is the beginning of where the enemy gets in and twists things around. And the debt that we have to pay, it says you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. When Yeshua died for us, if we're truly deciding to follow him, we will cut away that sinful nature and no longer not only to follow the sin, but to have nothing to do with the disobedience to our Creator and to hate it. We become alive with Messiah. This is what suffering well is all about. He didn't say it was going to be an easy life. He said he would take care of us and be with us as we follow him. When it says in verse 14, he canceled the record of our charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. This is where so many people have this misunderstanding of this. It says in verse 15, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers of authorities and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Well, my translation, it reads precisely. And by this mandate, he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and took out the way, nailing it to the cross and putting off his mortal body. He exposed the powers of evil and through his person put them openly to shame. He is talking about the sinful nature that if you decide to be raised again with him, that sinful nature has been nailed to the cross and done away with. And now you would have a desire and an open path and an open road to follow him and follow his commandments. This does not set you free from the consequences of sin. That's the misunderstanding that so many people have. By nailing it to the cross, he was nailing our sinful nature to the cross, our human flesh, our human desires, our fleshly passions. Instead, he was giving us our new heart, a circumcised heart. Where we would desire to do what he told us to do. We would no longer have that desire to live in sin, let alone sin. We have to get this and understand this. This is so important for us to understand. And then, because so many people are deceived by that verse, by the last two verses in 14 and 15, they don't understand verse 16. Verse 16. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain days or new moons or celebrations or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality to come, and Yeshua himself is that reality. Exactly. This is the biggest misunderstanding of the church today, and this is one of the first verses that I've opened my eyes to see what's happening here today. The church teaches that Colossians 2:16 is being told to the non-believers. It's being told to the non-believers. Don't let anyone condemn you for whatever you eat and drink. You no longer need to follow the holy laws and the guidelines of our Creator when it comes to clean and unclean food. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink. For not celebrating certain holy days. Don't let anyone condemn you for not keeping the Sabbath or anything like this. The church is teaching that. This is what the world is saying. Don't let anyone come against you for keeping these days. In reality, what it is saying is Yeshua talking to those who have decided to give up their life for him and follow him. Those that have decided to keep his Sabbaths. Those have decided that following the fourth commandment is necessary because our Creator said it and put it in stone. Those that have decided that there is a difference between the clean food and the abominations of the world today and everything that's unclean. Those that decided to follow the new moon celebrations in Scripture and the Sabbaths. Yeshua and Paul, Yeshua led the way, but Paul was telling them, don't let anyone condemn you for doing righteousness. That's the translation of that. Don't let anyone condemn you for following the commandments. And today, as I seek to follow the guidelines and instructions of my Creator, people of the church, people of Christianity of the world today will condemn me, telling me I'm a legalist. The Bible tells us, don't let anyone condemn you. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or worship of angels saying they have visions about these things. Their sinful minds made them proud, and they are not connected to Yeshua, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together, its joints and ligaments, it grows as Yahweh nourishes it. This is it. We go down to verse 20. You have died with Yeshua, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So you will keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Such rules are made by mere humans' teachings about things that decorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Completely, completely misunderstood these scriptures by the church today. In fact, it says in translation I have, it says, do not handle, do not taste, or do not touch. For these things are customs which are changeable, and they are the command and doctrines of man. This was the Pharisees that were going against what Yeshua was telling people. Yeshua wanted us to be obedient and to fear a wonderful Creator, a wonderful Messiah. You must understand the debt that he paid in giving up his life for us, and understand the joy that comes along with being obedient to our Creator, and the responsibility. The obedience is the love. The love, and that's what's going to pay our debt back, is the love. It says in John 14, 23, Yeshua answered and said to him, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. We'll keep the commandments. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be firm, steadfast, and always fully devoted to the work of Yahweh, knowing that Yahweh, your labor is not in vain. This is the commandments they are talking about. In Leviticus 22:31, he says it quite clearly and quite well. He says, be careful to observe my commandments. I am Yahweh. And then you want to go to the renewed covenant, and it says in John 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. The joy of being obedient to our Creator has to exceed everything in our lives. Instead of making excuses to live in sin, we must rise above and seek in all our heart, with all our love and all our joy, to be obedient to the words of our Creator. No matter how many people call you legalistic, no matter how many people try to tell you you're doing more than you have to. No, we don't keep the commandments of our Creator to be saved. We should keep them because we already are saved. Because he gave us that opportunity for salvation. He gave us that redemption. We want to pay back the debt. Do we understand that? Deuteronomy 5:33 says, but following exactly the way Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded you, that you may live and prosper and may have a long life in a land which you are about to possess. Do you understand the blessings that come along with the obedience, and the joy and the peace and everything that comes along with obedience is part of Yahweh's plan for us and the path he wants us to take? Romans 12 verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of Yahweh's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Yahweh. This is truly true and proper worship. And then Romans 15, 32, so that I may come to you with joy, by Yahweh's will, and your company be refreshed. Psalms 119, 47 to verse 48 sums it up beautifully. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. We are called to be followers of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. There are consequences for disobedience to the Torah of our Creator. You got no excuse to live in sin. There's no excuse to live in sin. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the pioneer of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. When we understand the obedience, the work, when everything we have been given the opportunity to do because he took away that desire for us. When you confess Yeshua as Messiah, something was supposed to change, your heart. Your heart. You're to no longer love what he hates. You're to love what he loves and hate what he hates. And he hates sin. He hates sin. He wants us to change. It says in James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. And this is what people are doing. Obedience to Yahweh is completely, completely necessary for us to understand the fruit that he talks about. We have a helper to help us do it. We have everything, even Yeshua our Messiah saying, his yoke is easy. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, if, underline, highlight, circle that. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You said, what is the most important commandment? To love, right? If you keep my commandment, you will abide in this love. You will abide in this love. We must be obedient to our wonderful Messiah. We must set the example as his workmen, as his messengers, as his watchmen. We must be like all of the people in Scripture. And heed to the words of our wonderful Messiah. We must do it. Setting the example. Setting the example through obedience, through our faith. That's how we can appreciate the debt that he paid for us. When somebody pays your debt, it's one thing. Somebody paid for your life. They took back your life. Psalms 97:10 said, let those who love Yahweh hate evil. For he guards the lives of the faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Faith is not just by a confession of a mouth. It is by evidence through our works. It says in John 14:23-24, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. The teaching they're talking about is found in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Proverbs 18:7 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Again, he keeps the commandments of our Creator. These are the guidelines and instructions. These are the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. We must follow them and follow him. Anything against following the guidelines and instructions of our Creator is sin, and he nailed our sinful nature to the cross if we fully dedicated to him and were raised again with him in baptism to no longer have that desire to live in sin, to seek out his guideline, his book, to know what sin is and not do it anymore. The old self is done away with. It says in John 3:8-10, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of Yahweh makes a practice of sinning. For Yahweh's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of Yahweh. By this it is evident who are the children of Yahweh and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness, not of Yahweh, nor is the one who does not love his brother. I pray that this message is getting to you. And you understand this. Share this message with a fellow Christian. Let them hear this. Let them understand this and let them see the joy, the obedience that comes together and what Yeshua wanted us to do, to take away that sinful nature so we would no longer to live in sin and stop making excuses for it like the modern church is doing today. So thank you, Father, for just revealing this to us through your scriptures. And I pray the deception stops and people start getting right with your word and start desiring to follow your guidelines and instructions. Not for some sign of, oh, I'm so righteous and pride, but for humbleness, understanding, wisdom, and the blessings that come along with that. Thank you for listening to the Suffer Well devotional series. Suffer well, everybody. Suffer well. Please take that to heart. Read it with the new eyes and a new understanding, Colossians 2. And if you have comments and questions, you can always contact me through my website. Until then, everybody, have a blessed day. Shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry. Turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we